Well, good morning and welcome. This message has really been stirring in my heart for quite some time, and so hopefully you can bear with me. It's kind of come personal, and it's, how would you say? You know, sometimes I have a tendency at times where I can just really get into it, and it may even come across, I hope it doesn't, but maybe it could even sound like I'm a little frustrated, but it's more when it's just so real. I don't know, it's just like the Holy Spirit takes over, and it's just, so I'll try and do my best to not be long-winded. However, I entrust myself, my body, everything to the Holy Spirit. And more that I do that, more and more that's where my comfort is. You know, and that's what we're going to be hearing today too, is, you know, so many times we place comfort in the things we have or the money we've laid up. And that's where we find comfort. But Jesus said he's going to send the Comforter. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's our treasure, should be. That's always the one we should go to first. Not after everything else has failed. So we're going to continue our walk through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. I'm going to lump a lot of it together. I had first intended on maybe breaking it up, but it just all goes together. And this is the first I've really noticed as I was studying this that the eye or the light of the body. It says, why is that in there? I had a revelation through that. We'll get to that. Remember, the first message I had on this was our perspectives and our priorities and our also our practices. So, I ask the question, what do we pursue? When I wake up in the morning, what do I pursue that day? What on earth am I here for? Where is my heart? Where's my being? What makes me do what I do? What causes me to pursue what I pursue? You know, these are all questions that we need to ask ourselves. You know, and I've never saw this in Matthew 6, 19 to 34 of being a nonconformity to the world. I never saw it as that. However, as I was working, it just became real. This is true nonconformity. You know, maybe we have done well as a planar community, as a planar church, as a planar black background. Nonconformity, we may have focused on, you know, well, what does the world do? Okay, well, we won't do that. What does the world look like? Okay, well, we won't look like that. That's kind of what we looked at. And we've missed the very important part. We focus totally on the wrong thing. I'm not degrading it, but we can improve from here forward. That's what I'm suggesting. And that's what I'm encouraging. Let's have the focus where God focuses. let's view it in how the scriptures as a whole teaches it. If we're not careful, we can take one verse and we take it apart and we don't bring along all the scripture. All we have is same as a puzzle that has maybe, let's say there's 8 pieces to that puzzle, let's say salvation. But we take one piece. I guess I'll just share it now. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Depending how you believe that, it's a false statement. You're only looking at one piece. And there's multiple pieces that come together. So we see the whole picture of what salvation looks like. That's what I'm warning. Here I'm already sharing extra. Praise the Lord. Let's look at this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let your being, let your thinking, let your values change. Why? Because once we start seeing it the way God sees it, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how we can see it then. To be non-conformed, it takes the new birth, being born again. And in that, we have new values. So what is world? I know I'm kind of, but I'm just building up a foundation, a base, another base. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen, it doesn't say things. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. That pride of life, the one translation is the pride of possessions. The way we live. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do we want to pass away with it? If you dissect the words of pride of life, here it comes. It means self-confidence in the means of livelihood. Personally, I believe we need to start looking at our hearts when we think about nonconformity to the world's value system. Because God told Samuel, For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, many times we tend to focus on a problems. When if we truly stop and we take time to really analyze, there is the problem that is causing these A problems. And it boils down to the heart. Where is the heart? We can take care of all the symptoms, but if we don't go to the root of it, it's really vanity. We haven't saved him. We've changed the outer. Inward, it's full of dead men's bones. So let's jump into our text. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good or single, healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. You cannot be a slave to two owners. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. It's greed for wealth or material gain. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? And by the way, just so you can relax, I'm not totally focusing on finances today. However, that is what Jesus is speaking about. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Have you ever grown an inch by worrying that you're too short? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. World value. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We've got enough in one day. So again, right up front, I want you to understand, I do not believe in and I do not teach non-accumulation. That way you can relax. I'm not teaching that, and I don't believe in that. But when it comes to our finances, are we conformed to the world's values? Or are we non-conformed and we have it in the kingdom of God's values? How do we value it? It's lay not up for yourselves treasures. You see, money is a tool. And for us Christians, it's a tool for the kingdom of God. And, you know, I don't just have one tool and I just have the bare minimum. I like to have tools when I work on something that I can work on it. I don't just scrape by with my tools. Okay? I have it so when the time comes that I have the tools so I can do it efficiently and effectively. That's how we should have our money. Does that make sense? It's a total new perspective of what I've had before. Okay? But now when it comes that I start pursuing the tool and I start hoarding tools, now it's become a treasure. And I am its tool. Now it's ended. Not stopped. Money is no longer the tool. I become guided by how will I make the most money? How can I pinch a penny here? How can I pinch a penny there? And I totally miss what God is wanting me to do in that time. It's no longer a tool. It's the means of an end. Because when we become transformed, our values change. We value what God values. It's changed. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Can we say that honestly? Can we say, is that who we are? We will see and value the will of God. And do you realize that the chief competition The chief competition for our hearts is not the devil. Have you ever sat at home and thought, okay, do I want to serve God or do I want to serve the devil? We don't think that way. So that's really not the chief competition. It's our own carnal being that comes in the way. That's the chief competition that God has for my heart. That's my own self-will, selfishness, I should say. The greatest struggle is to surrender ourselves to God. Sell yourself. Sell everything that you have. And give it to Him. Where I get that is, then Jesus looked at him. This was this one that came running to him. Oh, good teacher, what must I do to enter the kingdom? Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Well, this was, he was doing all these good things. And according to the law, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. That's how we can have treasure in heaven. It becomes part of us that the earth is Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all His. Why hoard? Have you ever seen a moving truck following a hearse? I haven't. So why hoard? Let's have it as a tool for the kingdom of God. Because would no one have saved up anything, how could we move ahead financially for the kingdom? See, it doesn't make sense. Then also, remember Solomon. Humble Solomon said, I just want wisdom. God asked him, you know, what do you want? I'll give you what you want. He wants wisdom. He says, well, since you haven't asked for wealth, I'm also going to give you that. So is God against us having wealth? That's why I don't teach non-accumulation. But we better value it the way God values it. Abraham, he was rich, but he also walked in faith. We'll get to some of that. I'm going to get a little personal. When someone experiences, let's say, death in the family, here in the congregation, maybe there's a brother, a sister, a mother, a dad, whatever. Are we moved by the Holy Spirit? Do we have the value that God values that we should encourage one another to bear ye another's burdens? Do we possess those values that we really don't think about it. We just go. But there's a need there. And I'm not saying we can all go because we wouldn't all fit. Like in their funerals or whatever. We'd fill it up too much. Or do we go to the other side and we analyze it? We may be pricked by the Spirit saying, you need to go. But then we start analyzing, well, I'll have to take a day off of work, pay for a night yet, a couple tanks of gas. It's just not worth it. And we totally miss, that's the world's value system, by the way, the kingdom of this world. Because we're looking what I can gain, what's in it for me. Rather than, you know, there's this hurting person. And when you walk in, they fall on your shoulders. Just sob. I tell you, it's worth the trip. It's worth the loss. Hundreds. It's worth the loss. Because in the end, you're laying up treasure in heaven. That's the value that we need to possess in us. That we're just moved. When my finger is hurting, I hurt. When the foot is hurting, we hurt, I should say, not I. We need to do something. It moves us to action. That's the Holy Spirit. That's laying up treasure in heaven. Is that how we see life? Which takes me now to the eyes. You know, if the eye is good or single or healthy, it's focused on the good. It's focused on Jesus. It's focused on God. It's focused on His will, His values. That's what it's focused on. And when we have, when our focus, our eye is on Jesus, we're full of light. It's just filled of light. Now, if our eye has wandered, and now we're pursuing the value of this world, it's darkness. The eye has become bad. It's off the point. You know, in the construction world, we build rafters. Okay, it used to be you build rafters. But you never took and just made a stack of rafters, one upon the other, upon the other. You'd always take that rafter off and you'd go back to the master and you'd build it off of there. What would happen if we today would go back to the master, the Church of Acts? How would our services change? We've built upon and built upon and built upon. And I'm not saying we're off the point, but if that's what we build our services off of, not the Word of God, will be off the point. It no longer lines up with the master builder, Jesus Christ. It's His church. And so many times we start angling off because, well, I like it this way. And we tend to lose focus that this is God's church. We're just the stewards, and we're just working together, doing the will of God. That was a Holy Spirit trail. Anyway, and then if our eyes, let's say we've started focusing on the values of the world, then in all this, you don't like to hear the truth, so you close the shade yet. How dark is that when that the light that was in you, you shut it off yet? That's the picture I get. How dark is that then? We're not willing to let the Holy Spirit convict us and to move us into His direction where we get our single, healthy eye again on what really is valuable. And our eye is fixed upon Jesus. Look into His face. You know, spiritual vision is our capacity to see clearly what God wants us to do and see the world from His point of view. And then self-seeking desires, interests, and goals block that vision. There goes the shade. One way to test is to ask, which one occupies more our thoughts, time, and efforts? Do we pursue God, think about God, or is it things? Because we cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. Jesus said it. I believe it. It's not possible. So, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll take care of us. Okay, look at the birds. They don't plant gardens. Neither do they harvest out of the garden and can and whatever. God provides for them. Are we not more than they? I love the picture of the lilies of the field. Look at the wildflowers. I am a flower person. We had a patch of wildflowers for a while in front of our garden. And I would just go in there and I would just admire. I mean, some of these were way down. You actually had to go in and intently look for them because they were so small. But yet, they were so intricate, so perfect, so small petals with fine little lines and little dots. And you know what? God put so much thought in those little flowers that hardly anybody sees. And along comes the frost and it's gone. Look at the detail He's put into those flowers. Are we not more than they? Oh, you have little faith. How often has God been saying that to me? The detail that God has put into me and has put into you. It's amazing. Take an interest in the flowers. They are beauty. It's a part where you can see God. And sometimes it's hundreds of petals in just this little flower. Tiny. And then there's that little spot in them yet. Just perfect, every little one. Now I guess you can see I'm a flower guy. But it is. It's just such a beauty. God is all for beauty. And He's for color. It's just, that's who God is. So let's not worry about tomorrow. Because God has it under control. You see, worry immobilizes. But concern moves us to action. There's a difference. We can be concerned. But it moves us to action. We're not crippled. We're not immobilized. Because so many times when we're worrying about tomorrow, we miss the concerns of today. We may miss the reason for today. You know, laying up treasure is not limited to our tithing, but is accomplished by all acts of obedience to God. Coming back to that salvation, it's nothing you do that saves you. It's just part of that is true. You know, it's faith alone. But then you go to James and he says, the only place I can find faith alone in the Bible is in James where it says, so you see that you are not justified by faith alone. That it comes from a faith that is alive. There's works. There's works of obedience. Not a checklist. No. No. But if it hasn't changed you, I don't see it as faith. We're saved by how we obey God through faith. Through faith, we are baptized. Through faith, we encourage one another. These are commandments. Through faith, we love one another. Through faith, we bear each other's burdens. Through faith, we feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We visit the sick. We look out for the interests of others. So what am I always saying to this? Through faith. Well, Paul said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, we can look at these things. Oh, yeah, so-and-so's in the hospital. I got to go see him. I got to go visit. And if it's just a checklist, it's not through faith. But it's because of your faith in God. It is so real to you that when you hear about this, you're just moved. Because when it comes to, no, I don't have it. Because when it comes to the end, in Matthew 25, when he divides the nations, sheep and the goats, to the sheep, it was, list some of these things, where I was hungry and you fed me, I was in prison, you visited me, I was sick and you visited me, and another place is you gave a drink, and it's all this list. It's things they did through faith. Then to the leftists, he said, I was naked, you didn't even come and clothe me. I was all these things. Well, when did we not? They were checking their list. Of course they were doing it, but it wasn't through faith. It wasn't moved by the Holy Spirit. Because they thought they were. Well, when did we see you this way and didn't minister unto you? So it's through faith. It's still through faith, but it's action. It's an action word. It's because we possess the kingdom of God's values. It's just us. It's who we are. I want to close. I'll just jump down here. Encouraging you, let's not be conformed to this world in our values. Let's be transformed and possess the values of the kingdom of God. Let's lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Let's trust the Lord in everything. And not worry about tomorrow. Today is enough. Let's keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the light, so that our body is full of light and it just radiates. And in that, we'll be obedient to him because that's where our focus is. Because where our treasure is, that's where our whole being is going to be. That's what we're going to pursue. That's what we'll live for. That's why we're on earth. That's what we're here for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. For the awesome, loving God that you are. The long-suffering God you are. Through our mistakes and through our wanderings and through all this, you remain steadfast and firm, that solid rock. And you continue to pursue us and to draw us. And probably sometimes you'll even shake your head. Oh, child. You're trying way too hard. Just come to me. Father, if there is anyone who is weary, they're just tired, worn out, they're heavy laden, could you just draw them right now, Lord? That they might find peace for their souls. Maybe they have been pursuing riches. Maybe their value system has been skewed. Maybe they pulled the shade to truth because it doesn't feel good to the flesh. Oh, Father, draw each one of our hearts to you. And transform us from the inside out. That we can truly possess your value. So that we can continue to walk in your will and your ways. Lord, I trust that we today would all say, we surrender all. All to you we owe, Lord. Oh, the love you have for us. That you gave Jesus, your beloved Son, to die for us. That in him and through him, we have that abundant life, eternal life, eternal perspectives, eternal values. Oh, may we find rest in that, Lord. May that be our comfort. And that our comfort is not in our own knowledge and our own wealth. But that it's you. That we're rich in you. And that we could lay up the treasures in heaven. Where you will reward. If we remain faithful unto the very end. If we diligently seek you. We trust you, Lord. You are so faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.